Hello, my name is Eric Christensen. I'm a product manager here with WebSphere for WebSphere Smash as well as WebSphere Application Server Feature Packs. Today we're going to be talking about cloud computing through the Enabling Cloud Computing with WebSphere podcast education series. Specifically, we're going to be talking about dynamic scripting applications for the cloud, which we'll touch on our WebSphere Smash product as well as Feature Pack for dynamic scripting. First of all, I'll touch on why dynamic scripting languages like PHP and Groovy have become so important in the marketplace. And we'll talk a little bit about WebSphere Smash and sort of the benefits that it brings before talking a little bit more about cloud computing. So to begin with, why are dynamic scripting languages like PHP and Groovy so important anyway? Well, the first reason is because from an enterprise standpoint, the needs for various applications in the business continue to grow. This at the same time that in many, many IT departments, budgets and development staffs are actually shrinking. So these are kind of two divergent sorts of forces. What's needed really to address this trend of lower budgets and at the same time greater applications needs are tools to do the job at hand in the most efficient manner. Often dynamic scripting languages can be that means. And we'll talk about the types of applications that dynamic scripting makes sense for here in a moment. At the same time, there are a tremendous number of dynamic scripting developers in the market. So from a cost standpoint, often the skills and the programmers available to develop applications in something like PHP are much more abundant. So enterprises want to be able to tap into that large base of developers. We've talked about enterprises here, but this also applies for ISVs looking to build software as a service applications. ISVs also want to be able to make use of the most efficient tool available and tap into the lowest cost skills in order to address software as a service opportunities. And from a business standpoint, software as a service often are applications that are targeting niche sorts of markets where you really need to be able to iterate very quickly, release very quickly for a very low cost. So dynamic scripting languages make sense from a business standpoint there. And the last point here kind of taps into that point. Dynamic languages are all about rapid development and ideally suited for rapid development. And you'll see that with WebSphere Smash and some of the specific functionality we have there in order to make it easier and quicker to build, particularly web applications, form-based web applications using dynamic languages. So I talked about the need for dynamic scripting languages in order to most appropriately address the requirement at hand. So where are dynamic scripting languages appropriate? So we've had Java, which obviously is very prevalent in most enterprises. WebSphere application server is obviously primarily a Java EE application server. Java, obviously continues to be very important for most applications, particularly for strategic, long-lived applications where maintenance is very important. The highest qualities of service are very important. On the other hand, dynamic scripting languages, which are really more ideally suited for rapid development and quick time to value sorts of requirements, play an important role as well. In this chart, we talk about situational applications. This chart sort of depicts what's known as the long tail of applications. This is actually an economic principle that there are as many opportunities in the long tail as there are in the left side of this chart. So this economic principle also applies to applications, where there are just as many applications that kind of fall into the bucket of very non-strategic, short-lived, need to be developed very quickly for a low cost. An example of an application of this type that I often use is a marketing registration form. So a simple forms-based application, it's not going to live for a tremendous amount of time, but needs to be done in a way that can still be centrally maintained and deployed. Dynamic scripting languages can meet that need for situational applications. why are dynamic languages better to address situational application needs? Well, the first point here is one we've touched on already: improved productivity. Dynamic languages are all about rapid, agile application development. The second point sort of feeds into that first point. With dynamic languages and WebSphere Smash, the WebSphere Smash programming model in particular, you need less time, fewer lines of code, and less specialized skills to produce. The third point here is that dynamic languages lend themselves to CRUD-style application frameworks, CRUD being create, read, update, delete. So web applications, which are typically forms-based applications that are interacting with a database. Dynamic languages are ideal in those sorts of environments for rapid application development. And then finally, a number of developers like dynamic languages because of the large number of third-party libraries that are available out there, particularly if you look at PHP and the community and ecosystem around PHP. For other dynamic languages, and in particular Groovy, which is another language that we support with WebSphere Smash, there are growing numbers of libraries available. So third-party libraries can certainly help ease development of typical application requirements. In addition to dynamic languages, the need for Web 2.0 technologies has become quite important for most web applications. Things like AJAX or asynchronous JavaScript and XML, many of you probably recognize this from rich internet applications and things like Google Maps, and it's kind of becoming more of the standard for for web application development rather than the exception to use AJAX. REST, or representational state transfer. REST is all about easing web, or simplifying web services around what the web does best in terms of put, post, delete sorts of operations, resource orientation. So taking advantage of the semantics of the web in a simplified form of web services. JSON, which is serialized JavaScript. JSON simply makes it quicker and simpler to pass data between a server or even between client objects that use JavaScript. And then feeds being, most of us are pretty familiar with feeds from a RSS and ATOM standpoint of consuming news and whatnot. Well, feeds can be a great way of integrating data as well and providing access to data to your customers or partners in a consumable format. So WebSphere Smash is a standalone offering that we have within the WebSphere portfolio for dynamic scripting. WebSphere Smash and the WebSphere Smash programming model bring together a dynamic scripting programming model, specifically PHP and Groovy, with the Web 2.0 technologies that I mentioned on the previous slide. WebSphere Smash is all about many of the properties that we've talked about in terms of being ideal for addressing situational applications or even for ISVs who are looking to build software as a service applications in the cloud. So things like speed, simplicity, and agility are what WebSphere Smash is built around. So from a speed standpoint, we obviously support dynamic scripting languages, which have inherent properties for rapid application development. We also have a thing we call the zero resource model, which is all about building database access and connections quickly and exposing that data to the web or to rich internet applications or AJAX interfaces through REST and JSON or simple XML. The second bullet here is around simplicity. WebSphere Smash provides a no-charge browser-based tool that we'll talk about in a moment. It also allows you to create rich Web 2.0 interfaces. So AJAX and the ability to build AJAX interfaces are built into the app builder tool that we'll talk about. And then from an agility standpoint, WebSphere Smash applications are the server. There's the server is built in, or the HTTP server, and all of the scripting runtime is built in to the application. So each application can stand on its own or be run together on the same server. It's also a lightweight, clean, short-lived runtime, which from a efficiency standpoint in the cloud, as well as internally, can be an important thing when you're looking to run many situational applications as efficiently as possible in order to consume as few computing resources as possible on the same server. The zero resource model, as I mentioned, is all about extending data out to the web through things like REST and JSON, RSS. The important thing about the zero resource model is that it greatly simplifies the way you can build CRUD-style applications, database app or forms-based web applications that interact with a database. And then WebSphere Smash is also built around the Dojo Toolkit. The Dojo Toolkit simplifies AJAX development by abstracting out most of the complexities of writing JavaScript that are required for building rich internet applications. The Dojo Toolkit is an extremely popular toolkit, one of the top five open source DHTML toolkits out there. There are many of these on the out in the open web, literally several hundred of these sorts of toolkits. So IBM is standardized on the Dojo Toolkit. We've made the Dojo Toolkit available to our customers through WebSphere Smash as well as the Web 2.0 feature pack in order to address their AJAX development requirements. The Smash tooling, which we talked about briefly, is WebSphere Smash Developer Edition, which includes our tool called App Builder. App Builder gives you a dynamic scripting editor. It gives you a visual UI so you can actually drag and drop, build AJAX sorts of pages. And then it gives you a visual assembly editor, so the ability to pull together things like Atom, RSS, feeds RESTful services into a single data stream. There are also Eclipse-based tools available on ProjectZero.org. ProjectZero.org is our community development community website for WebSphere Smash. ProjectZero.org gives customers the opportunity to interact with WebSphere Smash developers, ask questions, download things like the WebSphere Smash Developer Edition with App Builder for no charge. So ProjectZero.org is the first point for being able to learn more about what the capabilities that WebSphere Smash provides. We also make WebSphere Smash available to our WebSphere application server customers through a feature pack for dynamic scripting. The feature pack dynamic scripting gives entitled WAS 6.1 and 7.0 servers or customers the ability to deploy Smash applications to their WAS servers. So through this way, WebSphere application server customers can take advantage of all the characteristics of the dynamic scripting programming models that are delivered through the WebSphere Smash environment in a supported way. We also make WebSphere Smash available through the public cloud, and that's ultimately the result we want you to come away with in this particular podcast. So we have multiple clouds that we support currently. The IBM Smart Business Development and Test on the IBM cloud is one of them. We also have the Amazon EC2 environment. That is another one. There are multiple licensing options available in the public cloud, and this will get to some of the reasons that the public cloud can be such an attractive place to develop dynamic scripting languages. For ISV developers, we have no charge access to WebSphere Smash in the cloud. And that is for development and test. and the idea is that for no charge, no software charge, ISVs can develop proof of concepts and sales demos for their customers. The other option we have here is from a software charge perspective, WebSphere Smash can be used in the IBM cloud as well as the Amazon cloud if you own existing WebSphere Smash licenses. So we call this the bring your own license model. And then the final scenario here is the pay as you go model. And pay as you can go is, I think you would see in most instances, can often be an extremely affordable metric in order to start deploying applications to the public cloud. Pay-as-you-go is usage-based. For all of these, there is a pay-as-you-go for the infrastructure charge. So for scenarios 1, 2, and 3, regardless of the software choice, licensing choice you make, you must pay for the underlying infrastructure. And that's a charge from Amazon or the IBM cloud. So why build dynamic scripting applications in the public cloud? So the way to think about this is from two different perspectives, from the enterprise perspective and from the ISV software as a service perspective. A lot of those two perspectives overlap, however. From a barriers to entry standpoint, the public cloud can be a great way to get started very quickly, lower the barriers to entry. So from an enterprise standpoint, that means you don't have to invest in setting up new servers for development, test, or even production in order to host situational, less critical applications. From a software as a service perspective, the public cloud gives you a way, particularly with the no charge development and test for the software, the pay-per-hour infrastructure model and the pay-per-hour production model, the public cloud gives you a way to turn what would have been in the past capital expenses to operating expenses, which from a software as a service business model perspective falls in line with how you're going to monetize your service. So from a software as a service perspective, the operational expense aspect to being able to run in the cloud is extremely important. The other aspect here is around offering self-service rapid start development. So that means from an enterprise standpoint, a developer can pretty much command the process of building, testing, and deploying their application into production without the need for either a configuration management specialist or a system administrator to help them in that process. From a software as a service perspective, that means extremely small companies that don't necessarily have admin skills or configuration management skills. The developers can be responsible for deploying their applications to the cloud directly. There's very little overhead in order to get started and provision new environments. The third is around delivering new pricing models for hardware, software, and service consumption. So we kind of touched on this a bit. It's about turning capital expense into operating expense, which can be very beneficial from a ISV perspective, but can be also beneficial from a enterprise perspective, where you're looking to lower upfront costs and in order to meet your varying budget challenges. The fourth aspect here is being able to meet demand very quickly. So increasing demand in order to take, for example, the marketing registration form that I mentioned before. Perhaps there's a final deadline for that marketing registration where you'll likely see a spike in registrations. Or inversely, in the times where that marketing registration form isn't very popular, there are only one or two registrations a day, you can decrease capacity. The public cloud allows you to do those things in minutes. That can also be important for software as a service applications, where you really don't know what your demand is going to be until you enter the market. The public cloud can quickly help you address rapid uptake of your application, increase sales very quickly. And then the final one is around pursuing new workloads and opportunities. So these might be creating demos, sandboxes for your customers to be able to try, creating applications for collaboration or collaborating on applications through the public cloud, creating prototypes of applications. Particularly prototypes of applications lend themselves very well to dynamic languages. And it may be that, and it is that many enterprises consider and do build prototypes of applications that will be long-lived applications in the end using dynamic languages. Because often the best time in order to drive the requirements is through, you know, actually iterating and building on the application, allowing your users to try the application. Dynamic scripting languages can give you a low-cost model for being able to prototype the application. And then once the application is prototyped, you can take and, you know, build it in something like Java. So all of the aspects of the public cloud that make it so attractive are also things that are attractive about dynamic languages in general, which is largely the reason that you've seen a lot of adoption of dynamic scripting languages among software as a service vendors, as well as among early cloud computing. With that, we thank you for your time today and hope that this podcast has been informative. As I mentioned before, if you'd like more information about WebSphere Smash or the ways that we make it available in cloud computing environments, please check out projectzero.org. Thank you.